A message I have for you today, well, it comes in two parts. I'm going to do part one this week, and you can tune in again next week to the Just Jesus Radio Network and hear part two, Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Okay, now the title of my message is a very basic name. I call it The Checkup. The Checkup. Okay, let's have a word of prayer before we get into it. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for giving me this privilege, this opportunity, Lord, to bring forth these words that you've placed on my heart. I pray that the listeners, that they'll be energized through their faith in thee, Lord. And that when this message is all said and done, that you'll be glorified. For I ask it in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. Okay, now, tell me, when's the last time you had a spiritual checkup, huh? You know, the kind of a self-examination that lets you know your heart is right with God. It's not like when you have your yearly physical with your doctor, but, you know, it's a whole lot more important. Yes, it is. After all, well, Jesus is the one you will spend eternity with, if you are truly saved, of course. If your heart, as wicked and deceitful as it is, just like all our hearts, is placed in the hands of the great physician, not only will it be cleansed, not only will it be made righteous and pure, but it will be just like his. Your wonderful Redeemer, Savior, Jesus Christ, bless his holy name. Now, what's my point? Well, simply this. While we are in these bodies, and sickness and trauma are constantly on the attack, well, we can either pay our money to our local doctor, or give both money and soul to your TV faith healer, or do not pass go, but go directly to Jesus. Directly to Jesus, who heals for free and for all a certainty. Eh? Oh, yeah, according to his perfect will, free. Oh, we can't get a better deal on that, can you? Oh, sorry. If what man claims to be God's healing, you should not have to pay money. No. You see, the greatest healing a man can get is that which heals the soul. Because it's the soul that's important, right? It's the soul that has to be saved. For if the body is free from ailment and properly toned, what shall it prosper if the soul be blackened with repeated sin? None whatsoever. Oh, no. The Bible tells us that a man's body in life is measured at 70 years. But his soul, well, that has no ending. No ending at all. Your destiny has been left up to you. Yes. You can spend eternity walking on a street of gold, or supping with Jesus, rather, or eternity. You can spend eternity cursing the day you were born, as you quibble with the rich man amid the flames of hell. Not a pleasant thought, is it, the latter? You know what's funny? If I may use the term, many of those so-called brothers and sisters in the Lord don't even believe in a literal hell. They don't. Or they believe you can lose your salvation and will eventually end up there anyway, because they put Christ to an open shame. They do. And were never saved to begin with. So be wary of wolves in sheep's clothing. Oh, a checkup. That's the name of my message. The checkup. It's time to apply 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, which reads, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh, yes, indeed. You know, I've preached quite a few messages from the Word of God over the years. Oh, yes. I've preached from the church pulpit and in senior citizens' homes. The only feedback I ever get, really, and it stirs my heart, it does, it just brings me down to where I should be. I remember a little old lady in a small Baptist church down east. She came right up to my face, right in my face, and said 6 very encouraging words. The words were, "Boy, did you miss your calling?" In other words, where have you been? You know, I haven't heard you before. You see, I've never preached in a real church before that. That was a long time ago. An encouraging word is a wonderful helpmate. Yes, it is. You know what breaks my heart, though? It's when you're visiting with family and friends, and the blessed name of our Savior is not even discussed, or even mentioned, for that matter. Oh, the hockey and football stats, well, they get plenty of attention. Who's the best this? But bring up the name of Jesus and everyone loses their tongue. How can that be? If you're among Christians, you ask. Oh, the one who we profess to be the great and holy Savior of our very souls, our Lord of lords and King of kings, how can we pass the night away without giving him, the preeminence? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. We need the examination. That's what we need. We need the examination. We need that checkup. What's even worse is when your Christian friends all use corrupt versions of the Bible. Then when you bring up a Bible verse to honor and edify God, your friend who relies on a different Bible version runs to his computer and quickly Googles what you just said, to see if you're a liar, or worse still, if God's lying. Yeah, that's where it's at. That's where it's at. Well, I ask you people, what kind of Christianity is this? When families are torn from pillar to post because they don't believe in the same Word of God. Oh, how does that work out? I'm grieved to my soul. Oh, yeah, my heart trembles with pain. How can this be? Wow. In the days of yore, when kindly Christian folks gathered at the local church, some had to walk for miles and even in the dark. On their way back home, they had so much in common back then with each other and with the Lord, of course. One Bible, one God, one Savior, and one way to get to Him, one way to find Him, oh, one way to recognize Him. How they loved the Lord and shared through their prayer their every thought. Wonderful days. They were called Christians back then, and they all worshiped one God using one book, one Bible. When one got saved in them days, it was truly a day of rejoicing. Oh, yes. And the house of fellowship, well, it was filled with such joy from above. In those days, when there was a new convert, it was not because they went through today's repeat after me scenario. No, it was a time of deep, deep conviction and knowledge of what God's Word had to say. Back then it was repent and believe and be saved. Yes, there were tears, but there were tears of joy, tears, joy in the Lord. Back then when a soul was converted, everybody knew and everybody rejoiced. There was no need for doubt, no need whatsoever. Today, well, many years later, with the devil walking to and fro upon the earth and passing out over 400 versions of the Bible, the name of the game, folks, is confusion. Total confusion. But it's not from God. For God is not the author of confusion. No, he's not. When you train up a child in the way he should go, well, the last thing you want is any kind of confusion, right? Especially about the things of God. And this is where the devil is working overtime. Yes, he is, overtime. You know, there was a day when God's word was God's word, and you either believed it or you didn't. Now, more than 2,000 years later, the devil and his angels, realizing how difficult it was to confuse people about the word of God, came up with a new plan. They did, yeah, they did. It came under the banner which is very popular today. The banner reads, "If you can't beat 'em, join 'em." Oh, and here's how it came about. Here's how it came about. Whoa, late one night, Satan and his angels of darkness had a very special, let me say, low-level meeting. Having already suffered a great defeat at Calvary, well, it was time for a change of plans. More tactfulness on Satan's part, right? Satan knows that his time is short, and he knows also that the only crowd he'll have with him in hell will be those who don't belong to Christ. That will be the only people he'll have with him in hell. He thought about how he had fooled Eve in the Garden of Eden. Remember that? He couldn't keep God's word away from the people, but maybe he could cause enough confusion. Confusion, yes, by twisting the word. And some people would be so ruffled, they'd shy away and simply say, "I don't want anything to do with it." They'd be so mixed up and confused. For example, God told Adam and Eve that they may eat of every tree in the garden. But, big but here, right? But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they were not to touch. No, sir. Later in Genesis chapter 3, after that old serpent got Eve alone, listen to what he said to Eve. "Yea, hath God said, ye may not eat of every tree of the garden?" No, let's go back to chapter 2, verse 16. What God really said was, you listening now? What God really said was that they may eat of every tree of the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, Satan tried desperately to confuse the woman, and in verse 6, well, he succeeded. And Adam conceded as well. You know what they say in a marriage, you know, that if you believe everything your husband says, well, you might not go down that road you should be traveling. And vice versa to the woman. If you believe everything that that woman says, you might not travel down the right road either. So it kind of works both ways, doesn't it? What we have here is a classic act of confusion and defiance over the word of God. And the enemy has been at it ever since, yes. Now, hear this very carefully. It may be the most important thing you will hear in your lifetime. Yes, I said, in your lifetime. Are you listening? God wrote only one Bible. One. Let me repeat that. God wrote only one Bible. He had it done three times. Now you might say, "Why? What's going on here? Why did he do it three times? He made a lot of mistakes, right?" No. He had it done three times. The same words. Why? Well, because the first parchments of the Bible were burned up. The second time, the parchments were cast into the sea. And the third time, God promised to preserve his word. And since God can't lie, we now have those scriptures, what God wrote, neatly packaged in the authorized 1611 King James Bible. Yes, we do. Not in the NIV, no. Not in the NASV, oh no. Not in the New Living Bible, oh God forbid. And not in the New King James Version, but only in the inerrant, infallible, inspired, 1611 authorized King James Bible. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. All other versions are nothing more than sinking sand. The King James does not come with a copyright. Therefore, it has been torn asunder, and would-be critics, fools, and unbelievers, and devil worshippers, well, they have a field day with it. Since the devil couldn't change the true word of God, he wrote his own, incorporated his own versions. Over 400 different versions, last count, were out there, creating something for, well, you might say, everyone, every taste, every belief, oh yes, and every lie. The King James Bible is the only Bible that Satan actually hates, because it's the Word that defeated him. It's the Word of God that defeated him. He hates it because it speaks more about the blood of Christ than any of the others. And of course, it's the very blood that undid the prince of darkness. Yes, it did. Oh, yes. Now, today, well, now that Satan has introduced a multitude of Bibles, now there are so many different Bibles in so many different churches and homes, well, the confusion has never been greater. Some homes have several, just so they can compare Scripture with Scripture and choose the one that they like best. The one that doesn't condemn them for what they want to do or where to go. In the churches and colleges, well, even some Baptist fundamentalists today, more than one version is being used. Now, that's kind of confusion, I'd say, and God is not the author of such confusion. Now, you can add to these, well, the massive influx of study Bibles. And what we have in total is a major spiritual mess or crisis. On top of all this, well, add the various commentaries from well-known theologians like Spurgeon and Henry, then top it all off with the helping of John Hagee and Jack Vanapee. The result lends itself to utter chaos. Chaos. Wherein the feeble-hearted Christian is quite likely to throw in the proverbial towel. Oh, confusion will smack them straight in the face. And guess what? They will quit. They will say, I believe in God and I believe in Jesus. Case closed, and go on with their sinful lifestyle. Case is not closed. No. It's not too late, folks. It's not too late to reconsider. So, with all this going on, be advised, Satan slumbereth not. Satan slumbereth not. And since he can't have the children of God to stoke his fire, well, his final assault will be to seduce the unsaved into thinking they are saved. That's what he'll do. That's exactly what. Got a question for you. Ready? Are you saved? Are you really, truly, beyond any doubt, know that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Do you? Well, how do you know? Because I believe? Well, the devil believes and he trembles. How do you know you believe? That's the next question. Now, if 100 people went out to casinos and bars and crack houses and asked if these people believed, well, just about all would say, yes. But I don't bother him. I let him do his thing, and I do my thing. How can you be totally assured then you are a true believer? Well, most people would confidently reply, especially Catholics, and I know because I used to be a Catholic, well, I just know. That's all, I just know. Or I know in my heart I'm saved. But isn't the heart deceitful and desperately wicked? So how can you trust your heart? Another says, I know I'm saved. My priest told me so. Now, ain't that a Jim Dandy? Wow. What authority does he base this on? Is he God? Then there's this whopper. I know I'm saved because I'm walking with Jesus. Then tell me this. Is he walking in front of you, beside you, or is he walking behind you? What if you stopped walking with Jesus? Would you lose your salvation? Well, you can't. You cannot lose your salvation. Let me tell you this. You know you're a believer. You know you're a believer because you represented and believed in what happened at Calvary. Okay? The Word of God in 2 Corinthians 13:5 gives us the best assurance to know when we are truly saved. And here it is. Here it is. Listen up, folks. Examine yourselves. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Read it over. Read it over. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Read it over. Yes, we are to examine ourselves. Put yourselves to the test. Remember, though, it's a self-test. A self-test. Nobody else can tell you. Remember in school that sometimes at the end of a lesson you'd get a self-test? Remember that? It's not there to trick you. You're not graded on it. It's between you and yourself. That's all. The question is, will you cheat on yourself? Well, even if you do, you will still know you're a liar. You will still know you're a liar. But the test of eternal security is the test between you and your conscience. But keep this in mind. 'Tis God who will mark your paper. Oh, yeah. 'Tis God who will grade you and evaluate you. And God doesn't lie. Question 1. Are you saved?
I hope. I think. I'm pretty sure. My mom told me I made a profession of faith when I was 3.
Ooh. Question number 2. How do you know for sure you're saved? Well, I go to Sunday school. I play with Christian friends. Question 3. How did you get saved? I walked the aisle. I said the prayer of salvation. I got baptized. I played a part in a Christmas play. I quit chewing gum in school. There. And question 4. Well, we won't get into it. That's for adults. You know all about it. But we'll get into question 5. This applies to anyone. I used to be the town drunk. I lived in an old empty boxcar after my wife kicked me out of the house. One day I was staggering along a dark, rainy country road thinking I wish I was dead. I began talking to God and asking for His mercy. I just called out to Him from the very bottom of my soul, and I said, Lord, Lord, I know You're real, and I know I ain't much to pay no mind to. One day, Lord, I heard a preacher man say that if I believe that your son Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, if I said so with my mouth and truly believed in my heart, that You would save me. Well, Lord, I ain't much, as you can see. And I ain't got much. But if you have a mind to take me just as I am, I sure would be obliged. Will you save me, Lord? Will you save me? Tell me, how is it with you, sir? How is it with you, madam? How is it with you, young person? Are you sure? Are you sure? You know, many are called, but few are chosen. Few are chosen. John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." And John 20, verse 31 tells us, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life eternal," or might have life through his name, to be exact. That's how you know. You know, like I said at the outset, or did I mention it, this is part one of part two. I'm going to have to leave you for this week, but I ask that you'd come back to this same station next week at 9 a.m. Saturday morning for part two of this exciting message. I pray you will, and I pray you'll get a blessing too. The name of the message is The Checkup. Won't you drop by next week and take a listen? Thank you. May God bless you. Amen. Amen.